Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Time once again for SC Wild here on Sports Talk with the Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. You can reach out and touch the Major with your phone calls. If you want to reach him with a question about DNR, question about the outdoors and how to do things and how to survive in the great outdoors, he's the man with all the answers. Phone number 888-898-2525. We welcome in Major Billy Downer to SC Wild from DNR, and he is out in Colorado, not out there to see Dion, I don't think, Coach Prime. He's out there for some other matters. Welcome in, Major. How are you?
I'm doing good. I talked about going to Boulder, see if we could see Coach Prime just while we're out here. But anyway,
yeah.
We did laugh and say we might do that. But, no, having a good time at the National Boating Conference. Of course, talking about safety and talking with the Coast Guard with updates for lots of different things across the country. We have had some time to go out and have a little fun here in Colorado. Beautiful country. We went to 13,125 feet on Monday.
Oof.
Figured out how thin the air really is.
How'd that feel to
beautiful
you?
Beautiful sight.
How'd that feel to you?
Well, I'll tell you. We ended up in the middle of a youth shooting his first goat, mountain goat. We watched a father-son team put a stalk on a mountain goat. We were that close. And I went up to see the goat, and I had to stop. I was out of breath.
Whoa.
Whew. Oh, yeah. It's hard to breathe when you get up there. I can see why athletes come out here to train. I mean, you know, they call it Mile High Stadium, Denver Broncos. But it is a different atmosphere. When you get up 13,000 feet, it is absolutely different. We were on UTVs. Beautiful countryside, the Forest Service, wildlands here. We saw elk. We saw moose. We saw mountain goats. We saw mule deer. We had a really good day on Monday. A lot of different animals we got to see. So
none
really
of those,
cool. A very wild environment.
None of those that you mentioned, none of those ever make it into the wildlife area of South Carolina?
None of those make it South Carolina. No. They do not. We have some elk that kind of drift in. We have had elk drift in from the Smoky Mountain National Park from Tennessee. We did have that. Remember that a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
We had a little small young bull elk come in, but no, not typically. So, but just a different countryside out here. I mean, Denver is a very busy town, but 30 minutes outside of Denver, totally different.
Yeah.
We drove out and to the mountains and just absolutely beautiful countryside. So, a lot of fun. But tonight, we are going to welcome in a guest with us from Palmetto State Armory. Cameron is on the line with us tonight. If we could bring Cameron in, want to introduce him?
We got him for you, Major. Go right ahead.
Cameron, you with us?
Yes, sir. I don't know how I'm going to compete with Colorado, though. I feel like I'm going to let you down. You're talking about how you love it out there, and here I am sitting in South Carolina.
Well, we're going to talk about some things. We're going to pull you into this conversation. So, Phil, I told you about a couple weeks ago, I joined some of our wildlife staff, and we took a tour of Palmetto State Armory's ammunition facility. We talked about them bringing on the primer making facility, which would be one of five in the country. Pretty neat. A lot of people know of Palmetto State Armory from the gun store, the indoor range. They know those stores are across the state, Greenville, Columbia, Charleston, familiar with their store locations. But they are a tremendous retailer for the AR platform. A lot of people know that. I actually met Cameron in their rifle facility, and Cameron, you can correct me just a second, but we were in there, and their assembly line, basically they were putting rifles together. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight with Cameron, this is a little different. A lot of good calibers out there for hunting. 308, the 30 caliber rifles. The 308 is a great hunting rifle, and they have what they call the AR-10 platform. And Cameron, let's talk about that rifle for a minute. I saw the Saber, I think. Talk about that for a moment.
Yes. Yeah. So we launched our, we've been making AR-10s for a few years now, but we launched our Saber line, which is more of a higher end line from the factory, but still screens value to our consumer, which is at our core, right? Our whole base is to make firearms for the common man, right? And that common man can afford. And so we wanted to come out with a firearm that kind of had all the bells and whistles in the firearm, but still make it affordable to the consumer at what we're known for. And so, so the Saber line is essentially a value-packed firearm. It's got match-grade barrels. It's got sub-MOA capabilities. We have them in 308. We have them in 6.5 Creedmoor. We got 20-inch versions, 16-inch versions. It has a really nice two-stage trigger, so you can really get – you know, I tried to design this gun based around how I like to hunt with, and that's where I came from. I'm a big two-stage trigger hunter. I like to take that creep up so that way I know where the wall is on the trigger to know when it breaks. And so there was a lot of inspiration for these firearms for the precision hunter, precision shooter, for the consumer, but at an affordable price.
Right. So let me start right there, because – I know Phil right now is lost. You said the word creep. You said the word break.
Yep.
And Phil is going, are we creeping in the night? What are we doing? What kind of break did happen?
Yeah.
The gun break? No, Phil, two terms.
Yes, sir.
The word creep is when you pull a trigger on long distance shooting. We've talked about accuracy. We've talked about breathing and how you take the trigger and you pull that trigger. And creep is the distance, basically, it takes for that trigger to be pulled before it actually releases the firing pin, which is the break point.
Okay.
So a lot of people who do long distance shooting want a slow creep and won't be able to pull that trigger slowly, because you don't slap a trigger when you're pulling. You slowly pull it, and it basically should break and surprise you when it goes off. So that's what Cameron's talking about. Cameron, I want to bring in and mention this too, because we're not talking about a military rifle. We're not talking about an assault rifle.
Nope.
Everybody gets, into assault rifles and bad things that happen there. This is a firearm, and I'm glad you pointed this out. You are a hunter. You built this firearm, designed it around hunting. It is a semi-automatic weapon. It's not something you pull the trigger and it goes, brrr. I mean, it is something you pull the trigger one time, just like you would with a Browning BAR hunting rifle.
Yes, correct.
It just looks different.
Exactly.
It looks different. And it's something that I've had to get used to seeing a lot more in the field. People are buying these AR platform rifles for hunting. They can be camouflaged. This one is coyote color, which is a khaki color. Got a really nice rail on it, so you can put a nice scope on it. It comes with a bipod in the front, the Saber line does. It comes with a nice case that you can put on your back. So I don't want to take your thunder. Go ahead. Sorry. Just want to make a few points about
No, you're good. Yeah, so, like some of the accessories you talked about, it's coming with the firearm, and that's kind of the value there with it. But I originally started hunting with a bolt-action rifle, and my first hunt was with a Winchester 30-30 with my dad when I was younger, and that's kind of how I grew up using. But I wanted – once I got into the AR-10 platform, I realized, how much – modularity comes with the firearm. And when I say modularity, is the customization that you can do to make it more comfortable for the specific shooter. So when you buy a bolt action firearm, the synthetic stock or the wood stock is kind of just there, and that's the way it is, unless you want to pay a premium penny to get it upgraded to something else. Where an AR-10 platform, you can just swap it out. You can take the buttstock off the firearm and change it to something. If you wanted something to raise your cheek up so you can get a better sight picture through your scope, you can do that, and you have a lot more flexibility in the firearm versus a bolt action rifle or a lever action rifle.
Right. So does the Saber come with an adjustable cheek?
Some of them do. Some of our variations will have adjustable cheek risers, adjustable length of pull. So if you don't have as long arms, you can collapse the stock a little bit better, so you can get in there and really get comfortable and adjust it to the shooter. And that's what I love so much about it. And that's like the AR-10. And I know that's what we're talking about, but you really also have the AR, there's also a 300 blackout version, which a lot of hunters are using now, especially in South Carolina.
Sure, sure. And is that an AR-10 platform also?
That is based off of the AR-15 platform. So, the way that I like to describe it is AR-15 is small frame, AR-10 is big frame. And, you really have like four calibers that can go hunting with. It's the 300 blackout, 6.5 Grendel, 308, and 6.5 Creedmoor. And those are like your four calibers. Now, in South Carolina, where we are, most people are hunting within 100 yards. So a 6.5 Creedmoor is more of a longer range, something like you would use to go hunting in Colorado with. Where you're shooting across, long valleys, 600 yards, 500 yards. Where a 308 can do that also, but 308 in South Carolina is perfect for that 100 to 200 yard range that most people are shooting in South Carolina.
Right, it packs a little bit more of a punch and a proven round for 100 plus years. So
exactly, and it's around, and it's more affordable, commonly readily available. It's ready to go.
Right, I know that when we went through our firearm the ammunition crunch, 2 years ago, it was hard for anybody to find anything. And I was shooting the 7mm 08 at the time, and you couldn't find it.
Yep. Nope. You had to go with something that's more of like a NATO caliber to find any type of ammo, around that time.
Right. So talk about 308 for a minute, and this why this? On the design of this, I know y'all are actually, I know we were talking about that rifle. A couple people wanting to use that for hunting. Why that rifle? What does it offer you?
So, I mean, it is very, again, basing off the modularity side of things, right? You can tune it to the person, right? So we sell it in a configuration, but we also sell it in multiple different configurations. So a customer can really pick and choose what they want it to look like and feel like to them, based from the factory, or they can change it for not that much money after they get it. If they decide like, hey, I want to add a higher cheek weld to raise my cheek up higher to see the scope better, they can do that. And so we also have an adjustable gas system. Since it's semi-automatic, you can adjust the gas for each type of ammo you're getting. So that way you can reduce the amount of recoil that you feel in your shoulder. So say you want to, someone that's a little bit, teenager that wants to shoot it with their dad, right? They can tune the gas down a little bit, so that way it's not as much recoil for them, and they can also enjoy it with their, with their dad or when they're hunting in the field.
Absolutely. That's right. So 308 caliber is also a good round for a variety of hunting, big game. 6.5 can be used for whitetail deer, of course. You said that, long range. Ballistically, though, the 308, isn't it better on, as far as pounds of energy, on bigger animals?
Yes. Yes, for sure. They're close. So 6.5 Creedmoor is going to be a smaller projectile than a 308, so it's a little bit smaller, right? So it's not as big of a projectile. But the 6.5 Creedmoor is more of a hotter round, so it's more for longer distance. It's zooming, right? So I shot a doe with a 6.5 Creedmoor at 100 yards, and there was zero blood because it was going so fast it basically cauterized the wounds when it was going through it, but the doe dropped. So luckily I didn't have to try and track it or anything like that. And then from that point going forward, I said, I'm not using 6.5 Creedmoor in South Carolina anymore. And, it scared me. But 308, it has that from that, muzzle to, 500 yards, it's going to have that really good stopping power, where 6.5 Creedmoor is just getting started at 100 yards. You know, it's just starting to move really, really fast. And so, you know, it's a great round. You know, it's super accurate. I found that most people that shoot 6.5 Creedmoor, it makes them a more accurate shooter because it's easier for them to manipulate. It's a tighter groupings. It's really fast, so it's easy. It doesn't drop as far when you go out from 100 to 200 yards. There's no bullet drop like you would see on a 308.
Right. But 308 is a great caliber for those that may want to go out west.
Yep.
It's big enough to take elk. It's big enough to take, I mean, I know you can use it for moose as well. It's great for African plains game. When you get out of plains game, you start getting in some bigger animals, yes. But it's a caliber that can be used really in a lot of different
For sure. I would feel comfortable using a 308 on any big game animal in North America.
Okay, wow. That's a big statement.
Hmm.
That's a big statement.
I mean,
but like I said, it's a proven round.
Yes, 100%. Yep. 100%. And it has a lot of versatility with it. It's a good round. It's a good all-around, you know, especially for a semi-automatic gas gun. It is exactly what you're looking for hunting. You know,
Go ahead. You said you hunted with 308. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So, you know, the other thing that, you know, it's you know, the 308, and then you have the 300 blackout round, and that's another starting to become more popular round for hunting as well, just because it does really, really well, you know, subsonics. And so that's what a lot of people are using now, is that 300 blackout, but it's really only good for, you know, inside of 100 yards, because there's so much bullet drop after 100 yards. I think it drops like 34, 35 inches from 100 to 200 yards.
Wow. And like you said, 6.5 is very flat. 308 is not bad either. It's also pretty flat.
Yeah, so 100 to 200 to 300, you're good. Like, there's nothing. Yeah, you don't have to worry about nothing. It's really when you're pushing the limit after that.
I got a strange question that I know people they want to know, but they won't ask it. Where's blackout come from?
It is from the it was developed with Remington and AAC suppressors. That's where that came from. I don't know. I can't remember the terminology where it came from for the blackout from it. But it is a designed for subsonic, right? So suppressor use, quiet. You know, that is the intention of the firearm, is for subsonic use. Now, they make them where they're not subsonic, and they make supersonic rounds with it, but the round itself is meant to be shot subsonic. That was the whole point of developing the round. And it's quiet.
Which means it's quiet.
Hearing.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hearing protection safe with a suppressor, right? So you don't really necessarily need a hearing protection in. And that's kind of like, as, you know, being a part, and I don't know if this is going off topic here, but being in the firearms community, but also being a hunter, I feel like more and more people are starting to hunt with a suppressor, not only for, you know, their own, you know, protection of their ears, but, you know, it's more enjoyable. It's less recoil. It's more controllable.
Absolutely. Because I have a Browning Hell's Canyon with the, Boss system on the end. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
It does break.
Oh, yeah.
The multiple holes do provide, they let the gas out. It does take away recoil. But when you pull the trigger, don't ask me a question for the next 5 minutes, because I won't hear you.
No, I know. When I shot that doe with that 6.5 Creedmoor, it was so loud. I was like, my ears were ringing for 3 days. And I was like, you know what? I'm getting me a suppressor. I'm not doing this anymore.
And you're right. You know, it brings up a good point. So I want to ask you, I know we're getting close to, 3-4 minutes?
Yes, sir.
So tell us this, what's, as you see it in the industry you're in, the traditional, as you said, we both started with bolt action rifles. And now there's a transition a little bit. It's becoming more acceptable, a different look gun. There's a lot, there's some misunderstanding with that. What do you see in that? As far as the public hunter now using this semi-automatic, which has been around for years. I mean, semi-automatic's been used for a long time. It's just, you know, when you say AR, it just freaks people out.
For sure. And so I think, you know, I've been, you know, a hunter my whole life, fisherman, outdoorsman and stuff. And, you know, I've been in the outdoor firearms industry for 12 years now. And I think it used to be, people used to feel like it was almost like exotic to hunt with a semi-automatic AR. And now I think it's becoming more and more and more common. And, you know, I mean, especially with, you know, the amount of hogs now, you know, especially in the Southeast area with all the hogs, like people are hog hunting with semi-automatics, you know, with thermal scopes and stuff. And it's really like the ideal, in my opinion, I think it gives the user, it's more user friendly as far as tuning the firearm to them than a bolt action firearm, right? And, you know, I love my Browning bolt action, you know, I love it. And, but I just never take it out of the safe anymore. I never do, just because I'm so used to having the gun adjusted to me, you know, and I shoot and I hunt with a suppressor. And so, you know, I like being able to adjust the gas system, and I love being able, like, it's just a pleasant, it's more of a pleasant experience to hunt with a semi-auto than it is a bolt action.
All right, so
and I think that's
we got just a few short minutes, and you made good points. So how does someone go to PSA, look for these rifles? I know you do the deal of the day sometimes. How do they get access to these rifles?
So you just go to palmettostatearmory.com. Usually, you know, you can sign up for our daily deal emails. We're always running deals on our AR-10 platform. Or you could just click right at the top. There's a tab that says AR-10. It's right there at the main page. You just click it and you can pick and choose. You can buy a complete gun right from the factory and have it sent to your federal firearms licensee. Or you can go in and you can purchase an upper half of an AR and a lower half of an AR and complete it the way you want it to look right from the factory, and then just click it together when you get home.
Or you can buy the Saber package, which I saw.
You can buy the Saber package. Yep.
And that's got the bipod to steady yourself with. It's got the full gun case. It's got the straps to put on your shoulder.
Yep. Three magazines.
And you run those.
It's got three.
Yep. Right. And you don't have to add one more thing I want to mention with magazines, because people aren't going hunting with 30 rounds in the clip. That's just not what they do.
No.
You have short mags that have five, that hold five, just like a regular bolt action rifle.
Exactly. So, there's no point to carry extra heavy weight either. So five rounds, 10 round mags, you don't have to load them the whole way. They're ready to go. I mean, it's perfect.
Right. Appreciate it. Well, Cameron, thanks for joining us tonight. I know we're short on time, Phil, but I appreciate your knowledge of that. We might, probably love to have you again, talk more about, probably get into long distance shooting one show and just talk about some of the aspects of that.
Can I jump in?
Get into the specifics.
No, yeah. I want to say something real quick, and Cameron Tapler has been the guest, and fantastic stuff. Major, you really love guns. I can just tell by the way the questions you ask and the way you talk about it, firearms are something that I'm not going to say very important to you, but it sounds like a passion of yours.
Well, I mean, you've been an officer for 26 years. You've seen a lot of guns. And so you become knowledgeable. When you teach hunter ed, you learn how. You want to learn about different platforms so people can understand how to safely use them. So, I do enjoy a different – when I saw this rifle, I was impressed, because before that I never would have considered using one for hunting. But when I put this gun up and Cameron was there, I mean, I was like, wow, I kind of want to know more about this gun. So that started the conversation about, hey, let's bring him on the show and talk about it.
Great stuff.
Anytime you guys want, you let me know whenever you want to do this again. I'm available.
Thank you. We appreciate,
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Major, we thank you, sir. And, you know, they got special beer out there in Colorado, so don't imbibe too much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. Have a good night.
See ya. Appreciate you. All right, Major Billy Downer. Great stuff from me. I mean, listen, I don't know anything about any of that, but I enjoyed listening to every bit of it because it was intriguing. Cameron Tapler. Appreciate Cameron being on with us as well. And we'll have him back with us once again on the SEY with Major Billy Downer in the future. That'll do it. Thank you, Pat. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. Have a great night. We'll see you from Coastal Carolina.